Well, I'm David. I'm a child of God, and I am finding victory over codependency. So tonight we're gonna talk. The lesson is amends, and I just thought it was so appropriate that this lesson would like fall in the week of Easter, because amends is really this is my definition, by the way. Don't run with this one, but in my mind, amends is really participating in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And so I was just thinking about this week. I was thinking about a couple things. If you know me at all, you know I've got a little ADHD, and so I think about a lot of things all the time, and I have a tough time just sort of settling on which one I should really think about. Anybody have that problem? I mean, doesn't that just like drive you crazy when there's just like too much information? And we live in a culture that's got way too much information, too much stuff going on. So when I get a minute to sit down, I like to think about what would it be like if we had a perfect world? I mean, wouldn't it be great? You ever think about perfect world? I mean, I'm a parent, so when we were driving in the car and we had all the kids in the car, we would do things, and questions would come up like, what would you do if you won the lottery? You know, you ever get that question in the car kind of thing? It's really a stupid question, isn't it? I mean, it's just really a stupid question, because it's highly unlikely that that would happen. But what is interesting about the perfect world thinking is that God actually created a perfect world. I mean, if you read the book of Genesis, you start, you know, page one of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it goes on from there, and it says it was perfect. He says he looked at it and he liked it. You know, he just liked it. And then there's this little interesting scripture in Genesis 1:26 where God is talking to somebody. Okay, so he's not alone, but man hasn't been created yet. And he says, "Let us make man in our own image." And I just, my mind stops there a lot, because God is talking to God. I mean, this may sound theologically weird depending on where you come from, but that's actually, it's the Father and the Son talking. They're talking, and they're creating, and this is before the world, and they decide to create man in their own image. And their image is what's interesting to me. The fact that there's a they in heaven, okay, there's a they, a father and son, they are in complete, total, harmonious fellowship with each other. And they love each other. The Bible says they love each other, and love is actually their essence. And so when God creates man, he creates him that way. So if you feel a little maladjusted in the world you live in, it is because you were created to live in a perfect world. You were created to be perfect, and you were created to live in a perfect environment. And so we're all maladjusted. Anybody not? Okay, we are. We could at least agree on that. We're all maladjusted. And the truth is, if we weren't, we wouldn't be here, right? You know? So we're all maladjusted in an imperfect environment. And the earth, of course, man fell. If you know the story of the garden, man fell in the garden. Adam disobeyed, and God cast him out of the garden, and, you know, life got hard. Thorns started to grow, you know, hence all the yard work I did last weekend. That's all the result of Adam being imperfect in that garden. Childbirth got hard, the Bible says. Pains of childbirth, you know, I can't imagine, you know, what it would be like if there were no thorns and childbirth were easy. But that's perfect world. And, you know what? We wouldn't have conflict. Okay? So life, for all of us, I think we would agree, is full of conflict. In one way or another, every day, it is not a question of whether there will be conflict or not. The question is just how much conflict and how am I going to manage it? And, you know, you guys all have busy lives. I have a busy life. I'm a dad. I'm a business guy. I got a lot of things going. I'm involved in this ministry. And there's not a day that goes by where there isn't conflict in that. So there's no perfect world model working in my life. And so as a result, sin, our sin, the conflict of our sin, the nature of who we are, is always rubbing up against each other the wrong way. Okay? Relationships get broken. They actually start out broken. You just don't know that. You know, you meet the perfect person and you think this is so cool and the relationship is really starting out great. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Two broken people are coming together to have a relationship. And it's a broken relationship from the beginning. So when we finally declare that it's broken, it's only worse. Okay? It's not that it got broken. It started out broken and it just got worse because that's the nature of things. So that kind of brings us to where we are. How do we repair our relationships? Well, two weeks ago, Marcella taught on victory, and victory was a great, great teaching. I loved her teaching. But that was kind of the close of the first five principles where we are working on just our person, who we are. In lesson in number six, where we start amends, we are now starting to work on the relational side of who we are. We're going to start repairing relationships. And so let's just go to the principles first. Just read this with me, will you? Evaluate, this is principle number six. Evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for the harm I've done to others, except to do so would harm them or others. And the verses that go with that, please. Happy are the merciful, and happy are the peacemakers. Now, I don't know about you, but when I came here, I did not have a merciful heart. And everything I did had absolutely nothing to do with being a peacemaker. I was usually a conflict maker everywhere I went. It's a miracle that I found this place. And I didn't find it on purpose. I came here quite by accident. My testimony is that I came here to help somebody else. You should laugh. You really should laugh because it is pretty funny when you think about it. You know, I came here thinking I was coming to support somebody who was really messed up. But I like the little worship band. Didn't you guys like the worship band? Aren't these guys awesome? So, you know, the first night I came here, I sat in the front row because I'm just kind of stupid that way. And I think you're supposed to sit in the front row and pretend like you're in the band or something. And so I sat here and I was just awestruck by that. And I thought, okay, yeah, I can give up a Wednesday once in a while and come here and support my friend. Well, then I came here the second time, and the spirit of worship caught me. You know, Jesus was beginning to really reach a part of me that had laid dormant for a long time. Now, I'd been a Christian for a long time when I got here, so I already thought I was perfect. See, I mean, I thought you said the magic word, you gave your life to Jesus, and that life got wonderful. Does that happen? No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. When you give your life to Jesus, you're just beginning a different process. Okay, you're just beginning a different process, but you're not healed. In the eyes of God, you are Jesus. God sees Jesus and he doesn't see your sin, but that doesn't mean you don't have it. And it doesn't mean that you don't have some responsibility before God to deal with it. So anyway, I got here. Amends, it's funny that I would even be teaching this lesson because I don't think I had ever said I'm sorry in my life and meant it. No, I said it like this. Sorry. Dude, I didn't mean it, you know. Hey, don't get all worked up over it. No big deal. But I had never really said, you know, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against God and my heart breaks for that and I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? Those had never crossed my lips. Those kind of words had never crossed my lips. Those kinds of thoughts had never crossed my mind. And even if they had, I wouldn't have known why you would use words like that. And the reason is I came from a tough environment. I came out of a home that had two alcoholic parents, and life was chaos. And so, you know, I learned to be tough. That was the way that I dealt with chaos, is I became impermeable, impenetrable. You could not hurt me. Now, of course you could, but I couldn't show it. You weren't going to get an ounce of weakness out of me. And I spent my whole life with that mask on. And so and success, succeeding was my way of keeping the mask intact. So whatever I did, I had to succeed. So I worked furiously to be successful at something so that there was never any failure attached to me. And then what happens when you do that, okay? See, I got hurt by my parents, and then I developed this technique of deferring and pretending so that they couldn't hurt me anymore and nobody else could hurt me anymore. And then I began to hurt people. See, because this thing reproduces itself, right? The sin of the parents are reproduced into the children. Now, I wasn't an alcoholic, but the sin that was created by the alcoholism in my family just reproduced anger and pride and bitterness and judgmentalism. And I became incredibly judgmental because I was succeeding and you weren't. You were a failure and you weren't good enough. That was the kind of thinking, wasn't conscious thinking. It was just the kind of underlying attitudes and behaviors that I carried. And so, needless to say, I pissed a few people off in my life. I hurt a few people. And I hurt, ultimately, I hurt the ones that were closest to me because the ones that weren't close to me didn't care. So it's the ones that are close to you. It's the relationships that are supposed to be perfect. It's the bonds that are supposed to be impenetrable and full of love, you know, the gift of God, the perfect relationship, the relationship built on love. That's my story. And, of course, when you're living that story, you don't see it. You're not aware of it. You don't know that, you know, when you're looking in your rearview mirror and all the cars behind you are going in the ditch, it could be you that is causing that to happen. Well, that's what was going on in my life, is that, you know, my family was a wreck, my friends were a wreck, my business associates were wrecks, my customers were wrecks, my vendors were wrecks. Everybody that I dealt with was a wreck. And I couldn't see it. So that's what I saw when I got here, finally, was I was able to begin to see that. The other thing that I have noticed is in leadership of Celebrate Recovery is I begin to watch other people that are going through this. Is that, now I say this every time I teach, but I'm going to say this tonight. This is one of the most important steps in all of the step studies when we actually go to somebody and we begin to rebuild relationships. You know, the first thing we do, we take off the mask, we get a good look at ourselves. That's an important step. The second step is we actually recognize that there's a God and that we can have some relationship. That's an incredibly important step. The third one is we turn our life and our will over to Him. That's an incredibly important step. And it just goes, it just builds and it just builds until we finally have a right relationship with God. So here we are. We're working on principle number 6. And let's move to the next slide. Somewhere in there. This is where we begin to build the relationships. We need to make a list of all of the people that we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them. And, verse, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Now, this is confusing to me, I will tell you, because as a broken human being, I really don't know what I want people to do to me. I mean, I know what I don't want them to do to me. Got a pretty good idea what I don't want them to do to me, but I don't really know. Don't flip that off. Leave that on for me. Hello? Okay. All right. This isn't going real well. Can we get back to that next scripture? Okay. So here it is. This is really the principle. If you want a real relationship with somebody, you have to humble yourself before them. Because if they do the same thing to you, you feel like relationship is being restored. That's really the principle. I am learning to say that I am sorry. Okay, that's what we're doing with amends. We are learning to say that we are sorry. Okay, I don't know how to cue what you guys are doing back there. So here we go. Let's look at the acrostic tonight. It's admit. Admit is simply saying, I did harm. I did harm. Okay. The first time I actually had to say to myself that I wasn't living up to my standards, and I had to say it so I heard it, was the first time that I began to repent through it. I had never said that before, that I wasn't living up to my standards, that I was hurting people, that I was the cause of a great deal of the problems around me. Okay. We have do not judge. Okay, so here I am. This is David. Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. Picture yourself on the receiving side of that. God forgives you. God forgives you. Imagine if your wife came up to you and you had harmed her all these years and she says, honey, I forgive you. Okay? Imagine if your boss comes up to you and says, you know, I've been wrong about you all these years. I thought you were just an incompetent goofball. You are one of the most talented people in this organization, and I just couldn't see it because of my own blindness. Okay. Or, as I've heard it put sometimes, you know, you're not as bad as I thought you were. But it is the beginning. It's restorative. Those kinds of comments that people make to you when they come from the heart are restorative. And so when you've been hurting somebody and you deliver the restorative words, many times those relationships come back to life. Now, there's no guarantee, by the way. There's no guarantee. Second thing you do, you got to make a list. Okay, who am I going to admit all this stuff to? I've admitted it to myself. Who am I going to admit it to? When Daniel taught on inventory here a couple of months ago, he referred to a form that we have in our step study books. I'm terrible with forms. So I will tell you, I do not use that form that you find in your step study book. A lot of people do. I just use a yellow pad with a lot of pages in it because my list was long. It started with my dad. How many guys does it start with your dad? Okay, a lot of guys, it's your dad. Okay. The joke in my family is that I have five boys and three girls, and the boys were all born. When they were born, there was a crosshair on my chest. You know, they were all going to conquer Dad. That was the deal. The girls were going to take care of Dad, and the boys were going to conquer Dad. And there is this thing where a boy is growing into manhood, and Dad is the man, and there's that conflict of when does the boy become a man, and how much does the father allow, and it's amazing how much conflict. And I don't think any father means any real harm to their children, but fathers are broken people. Okay. So in my house, my dad was a broken guy. For years, I hated my dad. I judged my dad. I was rebellious to my dad. And I justified my rebellion because of his drinking and because of, you know, some of his issues. And I became a very, very rebellious son. And that rebellion carried through. I had to make a list. My dad was on the list. And because, you know what? His brokenness did not justify my bad behavior. It was my bad behavior that I had to deal with. Treat others as you want them to be treated. You know, role reversed. I have sons. I just want them to recognize early on that I'm a broken guy. I don't mean them harm. I love them. Okay, the role is reversed. I'm now my dad, right? I'm now my dad. I want my sons to realize, don't put me on a pedestal. I will disappoint you, but I love you. I love you. Give me grace. So anyway, on my list was my dad, my mom. My mom was an alcoholic, and I rebelled against my mom. There were two or three teachers that I caused so much grief to. I had to put a few teachers on that list. My siblings, oh my God, I owed them big time. I mean, I was brutal to my siblings, because I'm the oldest, first son, firstborn, and I'm firstborn in a Jewish family. So what that means is I'm like king in a Jewish family. At least that's what we're taught to think, and we're stupid enough to believe it. And so I walked around like I was, you know, like the prince in the house, and my siblings really caught that, and it was very painful to them. There were a couple of girlfriends on that list. You know, I wasn't fair. I didn't play fair. I didn't have their best interest at heart. And I did some things, and those people went on the list. And then there were some employees on the list. I'm a business owner. You know, I didn't mean to trample on them. I didn't mean to hurt them. But you know what? I did because of my own brokenness. And anyway, that's the list. How many of you have a list? How many of you need a list? How many of you need more than one page on your list? Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, that's. I think we all agree. I mean, the list is big. We have harmed a lot of people. Okay, now that doesn't mean that you weren't harmed. It doesn't mean that you weren't harmed in the beginning. In fact, some of you were abused as children. Some of you were terribly abused. I think alcohol abuse in the family is child abuse, you know, in the parents. I do. But some of you were savagely beaten. Some of you were, you know, sexually molested. It's not going to be easy for you to do this. In fact, you're going to have to ask God specifically to give you the grace to begin to forgive your perpetrators. In fact, I think we all have to ask God to do it because I don't think you can do this naturally. Okay, and then before you actually carry out anything beyond the list, the E stands for encouragement or encourage one another. I will tell you, I could not go up to somebody and tell them that I have sinned against you and against God and I am very sorry without the help of some of my dearest friends in this room because I can't walk the Christian life by myself. Can't do it. Found it impossible. I need my accountability partners. I need my sponsors. And I was hanging out with them. I was doing a lot of this in my step study, and we were all rooting each other on. You know what I mean? We're, hey, you can do this, David. You know, you can do this. No, man, I can't do this. I could never go tell my mother what I did. Okay, well, I will tell you, you don't have to actually go confess everything. There are some things we don't want to hurt people when we give our amends, right? Don't we say that? But I still had to go to her and I had to tell her that I was a rebellious son. I didn't have to tell her all the things I did in rebellion. I just had to tell her I was a rebellious son and I had a broken heart over it and I wanted her to forgive me. My friends encouraged me to do that and they hung with me to do that. The scriptures, Hebrews chapter 6, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That's actually our role as Christians anyway, is to help each other grow, to encourage each other to do good, to stand in the gap with each other so that we're not falling back. And that is the scripture that says that really builds the foundation for sponsorship and accountability. N, it's not for them. I was not making amends to my mother for my mother. Okay? I'm making amends for me. I'm dumping the shame. I'm dumping the guilt. I'm cleaning out the dirty locker. You know, I want a pure heart before God. This is how you do it. I'm purging all the crap. I'm taking a responsibility for my sin. And when I do that, that shame and that guilt, they just disappear. I think that we have to remember. Some of those people are going to look at you stone cold when you say, you know, I am really sorry for what you did. Some of those people are going to break down in tears and hug you and kiss you with great joy. And you may not be able to tell who's who. You just need to be prepared because you're doing this for you. Okay? You want to be clean in your heart. Luke 6 says, "Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back." Now, I'm not saying by this scripture, by the way, that my mom and dad are my enemies. I had to make amends to my wife. That was 7 pages long, single-spaced, typed, big paper. She wasn't my enemy. But the perception for many years was that she was my enemy. She was always in my way. She was always competing with me for this or that. Okay? She's not my enemy. She's my friend. She's my lover. She's my wife. She's the gift of God. So the scripture is giving you the perspective here that you might have. I need to love this person. And as I love her, I find out she's not my enemy at all. She's my friend. D. Is timing everything in this world? You know? What is it they say that you don't want to have an important meeting when you're hungry, you're tired, or you got to go to the bathroom? I think timing is pretty important. You have to pray that God will make the right time in order to have some of these meetings. Some of the people that I had to make amends to were in my daily path. It was pretty easy for me to say, hey, we need to have a cup of coffee. Some of these people are not in my daily path. Some of them weren't even in my life. Okay. How do you make amends to somebody you haven't seen in 25 years? You know, the high school girl that I broke her heart doing something pathetically stupid. How do I make amends for that? Now, you would think that's pretty insignificant 25 years up the road. I actually had to do this. I had to call this girl up. Hadn't seen her in 25 years. I didn't know how I was going to do this. And I said, Lord, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. And I ran into her in Macy's. You know, like that same day? That's how God works things out. If it needs to be done, God will take care of it. And so we sort of recognized each other in our different faces because my face doesn't look 18. And hers did. I don't understand why. Would have been a lot easier if it didn't. And, you know, we just waved and she kind of walked over and so we did like the, hey, how you doing? Great. What's going on in your life? Oh, I'm you know, I got a bunch of kids. What's going on in your life? Oh, I'm on my third husband. Oh, you know, that reminds me, I need to say something to you. awkward. But God actually arranged that. Timing is everything. Do it in the right time. Don't look to your own interests when you make your amends. I didn't actually get much out of that when I said that to her. She just brushed it off. Oh, that was no big deal. Don't even remember it. Actually, I kind of walked away hurt. You don't remember that? Wow, and I worried about it all these years. But I didn't walk away hurt. I mean, I guess maybe that was my fleshly reaction, but my real reaction was, I'm glad I got that off my chest. That's done. I feel clean. You know, I was looking to, you know, the interest of others. I needed to say this for me, but I wanted her to hear it out of my mouth that I was sorry for what I did. And the S, start living the promises of recovery. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Okay, isn't the idea to have peace in here? I mean, I want peace. I don't want conflict with my brother. I don't want conflict with my sister. I don't want conflict with anybody in here. I don't want conflict at home. I want to be a peacemaker. You know, that's really the desire of my heart now. And that's a God-given desire because that isn't where I started. That wasn't where I was when I came in here. I was a troublemaker when I came to Celebrate Recovery. I've been here since 2008. God's been working on me every day. And I want to be a peacemaker now. I want people to feel at ease when I'm in the room. And I want them to feel like we don't have anything between us. And if we do, let's talk about it. Maybe this is dangerous, but if any of you have anything against me, please forgive me. I want to be able to walk in peace with you. Okay, well, so how many of you have actually made amends? It's good. How many of you will make amends? How many of you won't make amends? Okay, we're working on you. Yeah. Anyway, that's our lesson for tonight. Thank you. Let me just encourage you that this is a big step. It's tough to do. Don't give up. Trust God for this step, because once you make amends, the process of recovery gets smoother and easier, but it never stops. Okay, I made my first group of amends about 5 years ago. What I do now is I make amends early and often so that I don't have to make the big amends, you know, after many years of rubbing people the wrong way.